If you turn to Exodus chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13, I'll get there in 1 second. I'd like to tie in to Memorial Day. Exodus 13 is going to record a memorial that the Lord set up, which is not tied at all to our American Memorial Day. But it is, in a sense, in a memorial day that the Lord established for the children of Israel, and then tying it into the New Testament at the end. For the last 5 weeks, we had the privilege of hosting an international student. And yesterday, we said goodbye to him as they went on tour of some cities before heading back to China. So on Friday night, we took a last-minute opportunity to go with him and another international student to what all teens love, or most teens love, and that is an amusement park. Our guy was not as keen on the, as he called them, scary rides. He liked the tamer rides. The rides that stayed within 10, 15 feet of the ground was probably the preferable, although we did get him on a few other ones. But as you go to an amusement park, and the one thing I don't like about amusement parks, I don't like lines. Okay, that's just, you feel like you are a rat on a hamster wheel thing, that you just, it's lines go in and out. But as you're waiting in line, and the lines were really not that bad on Friday night, there's these signs that come every 10, 15, 20 feet, and they're at the end, and they say something to the effect, please keep all hands and feet inside at all times, and for good reason. And so you get to the end of that row, it gets closer, you turn, and then there's another sign, please keep all hands and feet inside for the remainder of the ride. And it seems like every single time you weave through this line, there's another sign, please keep all hands and feet inside. You sit down in your seat, and over the loudspeaker comes a monotone voice, please keep all hands and feet inside at all times. And just when you just want to enjoy the ride, you get one last reminder that you need to keep your hands and your feet inside. Who knows what happens if you don't, but you need to. Okay, and then you enjoy your 15 seconds of ride for your 30 minutes of wait. But why do they keep telling you the same thing? To the point that it's almost annoying. You'd almost expect, well, I can remember what I just saw, what I just heard 15 times over. But I think there is a truth, and as I was thinking about that, that we tend to not remember things. We can be told things, and we forget things. There is something in part of human nature that we forget. We forget what we're doing. We forget a shopping list that we thought we could remember. We forget birthdays. We forget different events. And so in Exodus chapter 13, I just want to draw your attention to verse 3. Moses says to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt. Remember this day that we came out from Egypt. And I think this is very interesting because they just came out chapter 12. This is like telling a newlywed couple, don't forget that you were married yesterday. Okay? Or telling someone who had a birthday, hey, just a reminder, you have a birthday 364 days from now. Okay? God's going to tell Moses, remind the people that they came out, just came out. This is the biggest event in the history of Israel. They just left an area called Succoth. Most people believe they are still in Egypt. They have not actually totally left Egypt. They are heading into Sinai, going towards the Promised Land. So why is Moses, why is God wanting to remind Israel? What is the big deal? In the previous chapter, chapter 12, verse 14, God says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." God wants the children of Israel, God wants his people forever and all times to remember this time in chapter 13 where God is going to bring them out. So, we create holidays in the United States, right? We create Memorial Day weekend to remember those veterans who have passed away, those who served in our service of our country and who have died. We have birthday celebrations. We honor people as they get a year older. We honor our veterans. We have 4th of July to honor our country's birth. We have different things. This holiday specifically, this memorial that God set up, is to honor and to remember the Passover. Chapter 12 is, as most of us remember, we've had 10 plagues, 9 plagues. This is the 10th plague that happens where God tells the children of Israel, sacrifice a lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and have a meal. Okay, this meal is going to consist of roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and you're to eat that. As well, there is leavened bread, and God is delivering his people from Egypt. With this comes the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt. And so through the death of the lamb, there is redemption for Israel, but there is death in Egypt. And so God wants to remind them of what has happened. Chapter 12, verse 14, this day shall be a memorial for you. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all generations. Ye shall keep it as a feast by my ordinance forever. And God wants to make sure that they remember this time. This is an important event in their history. Tied with the Passover is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And this is, Deuteronomy 16:3 says, ye shall eat no unleavened bread with it, with the Passover. 7 days shall ye eat it without unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that all the days of your life you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. And pretty much this holiday ties in with Passover. And it was to remind them that when they were fleeing Egypt, their bread was made in haste. They could not put leaven in it. And so these 7 days are set aside where they would clean their house of all leaven in it. Anything that contained leaven was put out, and they would eat only unleavened bread. And this is most important holidays. 7 days, Passover, unleavened bread, they would have and celebrate. And so why this? Why does God want a memorial for the children of Israel? I'd like to look at three things. The present, okay? What is God commanding? What is in this passage that God wants them to follow? And then look at the past, and then look towards the future. So a little bit different order: present, past, and then future. Starting in verse 1, Exodus chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. So God is setting apart the firstborn for himself. Verse 3 through verse 10, he's going to describe the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. On the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you all in your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, and there's going to be questions that come up about this whole leaven. It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand, as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. Verse 11 to verse 16, he's going to talk about the consecration of the firstborn children. When the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart. And that word is actually the same that's used in chapter 12, where it talks about God passing over the houses of the Israelites who had the blood. You shall pass over to the Lord, set apart to the Lord, all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And God's establishing that the firstborn belongs to him. But of the men, of the children, firstborn children, they could redeem them back. When it in time comes, your son asks you, and I think this is a very natural place for questions to come up. This misunderstanding, not understanding what God's doing in the firstborn. What does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your head or frontless between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt. God's establishing a ceremony. God's establishing a memorial that will last forever. You know, you can establish a rock monument, and we can forget. We can put a sign on the side of the road, which we have them even around Quakertown, and say, this happened this date, this time. But the reality is a lot of times we pass right by. And God's going to establish a holiday. God's going to establish something that you cannot forget it. It is something that's going to take place yearly. And these two things that God's going to tell them you must do regularly is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and, in this passage, the consecration of the firstborn. This is something that is to take place. It is a, verse 2, you shall consecrate it. Okay? Verse 6, you shall keep the service in this month. God is establishing something that is going to take place regularly. Paul is actually going to draw from this passage in 1 Corinthians 5:8, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Paschal lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God wants them to, in the act of this unleavened bread, to remember that the sin of Egypt is left behind. That they are no longer part of that. They are part of God's new land. Verse 2, he says, consecrate to me. Verse 11, he says, you shall set apart to the Lord. And then verse 15, in the present, he's going to say, therefore I sacrifice to the Lord. This is a present tense thing that they are supposed to do. Keep the festivals. Keep the ceremonies. For in doing this, we are to remember what God's done. And then he's going to talk about these deliberate conversations. I think it's interesting, both in the passage about the unleavened bread and the firstborn, he's going to draw a connection to, there is going to be, it says, your son, I think he's being broadened out, saying your children. We're talking about the children of Israel who are coming out, and their children are asking, what does this mean? And God's establishing festival ceremonies that are rather challenging to understand. They are not simply simple things. And so they're going to ask, what are we doing with a firstborn? Why are we giving up this firstborn lamb? Why are we giving up this firstborn donkey? Why during these 7 days are we not eating leavened bread? And he's going to make it clear that these are opportunities for explanation. He's going to say in verse 8, you shall tell your son that day. Okay, opportunities are going to come up. You shall tell your son that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. That's the reason. Okay, verse 14, he's going to say, when it is time to come, your sons ask, what does this mean? You shall say, by a strong hand. I think it's very interesting that they have ready answers. These answers, they know that they're going to come. And God's giving instruction to them. When questions are asked, be prepared. When questions are asked, give them the explanation. It is of the Lord. It is because of the Lord. It is because of what he's done. So why the ceremonies? And to see that, we go backwards. In verse 3, he's going to say, because it was the day that you came out of Egypt. God is establishing something for all times because of their bondage to slavery. God wants them to not forget that those were once slaves. You were once part of the house of slavery. You were once in bondage. You were once in Egypt, but God brought you out. The Lord brought you out. I think it's easy, and even in our own lives, that we can look back and say, well, we got out because of whatever. Okay, and here, he's going to make clear, it was not because of your ingenuity that you got out of Israel. It's not because we were clever, and maybe more clever. It's not that we tricked the Egyptians to leaving. But it is the Lord. It is the Lord that's going to bring them out at this time. And so as the children of Israel, when they celebrate this time, they come together and say as a group, and if you ever have watched a Passover, they say, and they put it in the present tense, I was in bondage. And to this day, they will say, I was in bondage in Egypt. I was in the house of slavery. I am no longer now a slave. I was in a desperate condition, but God saw me in my deplorable state. God rescued me with a mighty arm. God redeemed me from the house of slavery through the death of the Lamb. And so there is a look at the past for the Israelites. God rescued us from slavery. But there's also a future look in this passage. In verse 5, he says, "The Lord brings you into the land." The Passover is not just celebrating something that happens in the past, but it celebrates something that the Lord is actually going to do still. The Lord is going to bring you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to do, which he promised by himself to do. There is a look to the future that's part of this passage. Verse 11 says, "When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites." There is a promise that God will fulfill his word even when all things seem impossible. And I'd like to take this passage and now go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This Passover, this Feast of the Unleavened Bread, is pointing to something that is far greater than just this passage alone. This passage actually points us to Christ. Luke chapter 22, Jesus is sitting and fulfilling the Passover meal with his disciples. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 records in verse 23, and we're very familiar with this passage. Next Sunday, we are taking part in the Lord's Supper, communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. The Lord, this Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And here is a fulfillment of the Passover meal. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Here, Jesus is fulfilling the sacrificial lamb, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. "After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes." Here Christ is calling us to remember as a church, not necessarily the Passover. Although the Passover enlightens our view and our understanding of what's happening in the Old Testament. Our understanding here in Exodus chapter 13 helps us understand what's happening with the substitution. It helps us understand redemption. But Jesus calls us to remember not Exodus chapter 13, but he calls us to remember himself. Exodus 13 tells us to remember a memorial and a ceremony that Christ is going to establish for all of us to partake in. And that is, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. We do this in remembrance of Christ. This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread, as often as we drink this cup, we are remembering Christ. We are remembering the sacrifice that Christ made. And just as the Israelites would gather together and recount how the Lord saw us in Egypt, the Lord delivered us from our bondage, we come together as a church, not leaving Egypt itself, but we say together, "I was in bondage to sin. I was desperately lost without Christ. God saw me in my deplorable state. And Christ's body was broken for me to be the payment for my sin. Jesus Christ died for me and redeemed me just as that lamb redeemed the firstborn son of Israel. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and became the payment for my sin." And so together, when we take the cup and we take the bread, we are celebrating not just a historical day, but we are saying together, we need Christ. We needed Christ's death. We needed Christ's blood. We needed Christ's body for ourselves. And so together, we say together, we need Christ. We needed Christ as that lamb in Israel that was slain. But there's also a future look in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13. And that is, we are remembering Christ's death until he comes. This is a remembrance. This is a memorial. Just like the children of Israel had a memorial, had a ceremony, had a ritual, if we can say, to remember what Christ did, we have a remembrance that we have to do the same. And that is, we come together as a church to celebrate, to remember that Christ's body is broken for us. And we look forward not to the land of Canaan, not to that promised land, but we look towards Christ's kingdom. We look towards the kingdom that God has established for those who know him. And so we remember that Christ is coming again. We do remember that Christ will have his kingdom here. And so what is the application? The application is Christ calls all of us, I think, to remember the Lord's Supper, communion. It is a remembrance. And are we making it a remembrance? I think it's very easy, and I speak from personal experience, that it's easy to let our minds drift. We have a time where we can remember. It's also easy to let it just become routine. It just becomes part of our normal, we come to church, we sit down, we take communion, we listen to a sermon. But are we allowing the thoughts of what's happening take over our mind? It is easy to partake, or maybe even not partake, and not think even a thing about it. It's what we do. It's part of what we do here at church, and that's what it is. Are we allowing this to be something that we do this in remembrance of Christ? Second, are we, through opportunities given, teaching the next generation what Christ has done? Here in this passage, Exodus 13, there is very deliberate thought to giving the next generation what's going on. And there are questions that are provoked, and there are questions that come up naturally. And are we answering the difficult questions? Are we allowing thought to be given to how do we speak to these conversations? How do we give answers to what we're doing? This next Sunday we have communion. And will you join as we affirm as a memorial what Christ has done? As we say together, I was in bondage to sin. I am desperately lost and need Christ. And God saw me in my deplorable state. Christ's body was broken for me. Christ's blood was poured out for me on my behalf. Christ died for me and redeemed me from my sin, my payment of Jesus Christ's blood on the tree. Are we coming together? Can we say this together individually? Can we say this together as the body of Christ? I need him. I need that sacrifice. And together, we remember that for him. Why don't we close in prayer? Father, we thank you for a memorial. We thank you for Memorial Day, even in our country, where we can remember the events of what these men have done for us. And Father, we thank you for what Jesus Christ has done for us as the Lamb who is slain, who redeemed us for himself. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to remember what you've done. We pray these things in your name. Amen.